1420 AM and W248DE broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
From the hometown of NASCAR's Dick Trickle, locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM, your news talk and sports station.
This is the CBS World News Roundup Late Edition, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Monica Ricks in New York. President Volodymyr Zelensky says Russia's weaponizing everything in Ukraine now and told leaders today at the UN that the same could happen to them.
Evil cannot be trusted. Ask Prigozhin if one bets on Putin's promises.
The mercenary leader died in a suspicious plane crash last month. President Biden also spoke today at the UN and backed Ukraine's efforts against Russia while urging leaders to take more action on climate change. In Washington, House Republicans are gearing up for their first hearing in their impeachment inquiry against the president. Here's CBS's Catherine Herridge.
A Republican aide to the House Oversight Committee tells CBS News they intend to subpoena Hunter and James Biden's personal and business banking records as early as this week. Until now, Republican committee investigators have relied on documents from Hunter Biden's close associates, not members of the Biden family.
Welcome to Virginia. Welcome to the U.S.
Five Americans released by Iran finally got to hug their families today. They were freed as part of a controversial prisoner swap. The United Auto Workers strike is still going and could get bigger soon if automakers can't reach a deal by Friday. These workers are holding the line in Wayne, Michigan.
We got to reach this deal one way or another. We've given up so much over the years in the last few contracts. This is the only way we're going to get it back. We got to do what we got to do.
It's what sends a message. You know, you got to hit them where it hurts, right in their pocketbook.
In New York, two daycare workers have been arrested. CBS's Matt Piper.
A New York City daycare operator and a man who rented a room from her are facing federal charges because of the amount of drugs found. Inside that Bronx daycare, police say a kilo of fentanyl in a hallway closet and 3 kilo press machines, which are used to package drugs. One child was killed, three others hospitalized after being exposed to the deadly drug.
Opioids, including fentanyl, have killed more than 111,000 people in the U.S. in just the last year. A teen in Texas is still taking heat over his hair.
Daryl George has already served more than 2 weeks of in-school suspensions over his twisted locks. And when he arrived this week with the same hairstyle, he was suspended again. His mother, Derisha, says the Houston area school is
basically picking with my child.
The school says his hairstyle, which he's been growing for 10 years, violates its dress code because of its length when let down. But his mother says
his hair is always up.
That's CBS's Allison Keys. Colorado coach Deion Sanders is now condemning death threats against Colorado State safety Henry Blackburn over a hard hit that sent one of his players to the hospital. He says Blackburn made a mistake, but it's so bad now, police are involved. This is CBS News.
When you think of hiring, think of Indeed. Their end-to-end hiring system helps you attract, interview, and hire candidates all in the same place. Visit Indeed.com/credit.
I have diabetes. I'm at risk for pneumococcal pneumonia.
I have asthma. I'm at risk, too.
If you're 19 or older with chronic conditions like asthma, diabetes, COPD, or heart disease, or are 65 or older, you are at increased risk for pneumococcal pneumonia. Ask your doctor or pharmacist about Prevnar 20, pneumococcal 20-valent conjugate vaccine, a vaccine that can help protect you against pneumococcal pneumonia in just one dose. Even if you've already been vaccinated with other pneumonia vaccines, Prevnar 20 may help provide added protection. Prevnar 20 is approved for adults to help prevent infections from 20 strains of the bacteria that cause pneumococcal pneumonia. Continued approval may depend on a supportive study. Don't get Prevnar 20 if you've had a severe allergic reaction to the vaccine or its ingredients. Adults with weakened immune systems may have a lower response to the vaccine. Side effects include pain and swelling at the injection site, fatigue, headache, muscle, and joint pain. For full prescribing information, please call 1-855-213-2138 or visit Prevnar20.com.
Teachers, learners, schools, and communities have never faced more challenges than they do in 2023. Is education a matter of national security? Major elections, artificial intelligence, educator shortages, these issues have serious implications. Dr. Tim Slecker and Dr. Johnny Lupinacci break it down every Tuesday night at 7 p.m. for you and your neighbor. Busted Pencils on the Civic Media Network.
Find previous shows and more at civicmedia.us.
For WFHR and WIRI, I'm Melissa Kay. Here's what you need to know in central Wisconsin. A week from today, there will be a full-scale hazardous materials incident training exercise in Wood County involving more than six local agencies. The Wood County Local Emergency Planning Committee, along with Wisconsin Emergency Management, is hosting the training to ensure that responders from multiple agencies can effectively coordinate their efforts in the event of a real emergency. The training will take place the morning of September 26th from 8 to 11 at ERCO Worldwide. They will close down an area on Highway 73 from the corner of Highway 54 to Wilhorn Road. There will be a heavy police, fire, and EMS presence, but there is no danger to the public and no hazardous materials will be released. It's Rail Safety Week. The Wisconsin State Patrol reminds us that together we can save lives at railroad crossings and train tracks. Find events near you at oli.org. I'm Melissa Kay, Civic Media News.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. Mainly cloudy skies expected tonight with a slight chance for scattered thunderstorms. Lows level off around 53. Southeasterly winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. Slight chance for isolated storms tomorrow. High of 81. Sunshine mixed with clouds at times. Slight chance for scattered storms again tomorrow night. Lows dip down to about 58. Mainly cloudy. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 72.
Stop surfing the dial. You've found the greatest station ever. Locally grown radio 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
Camp his way with his same old safe bay. Me and my head high and my tears dry. Get on.
I hope they're dry from yesterday, Anya. I don't know about it. I'm Maggie Dawn, and this is the Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. I feel like I've been away forever and ever, and I have to give a shout out to everybody at Civic Media who's been so generous with their time and skill to help cover for me while I've been gone, especially yesterday, walking out the door, fell down the stairs about 16 minutes before I was supposed to go on live radio. That's always fun. But I'm here sitting. Usually I stand when I do this. But sitting today with the leg lofted, there's been two things that have been like burning for me to talk about, just boiling over of importance here in the state of Wisconsin. And both have to do with a lot of legal technicalities. And if that ain't Maggie Dawn material, I do not know what is. So I want to tell you what they both are. I also will get to the question of the Iowa model and the proposal from Wisconsin Republicans to change how we redistrict later this week or early next. But today, if we can get through both of them, I want to talk about two things. The first is explain how it is that Planned Parenthood is open and helping women access healthcare and to control their lives. And I want to explain to you the technical things that the decision that paved the way for Planned Parenthood to reopen, despite the fact that a law that was passed in 1849 remains on the books. And that's weird, right? There wasn't some injunction preventing enforcement of the law, and yet Planned Parenthood reopened. So I'm going to explain that to you. The second thing we're going to get to today, probably starting at the bottom of the hour, is what the heck is going on with the Elections Commission director? And like, we all get that the Senate's trying to fire her, but maybe they don't have the power to do that. And there was this other state Supreme Court decision about some other appointee. And how does all of that work and what's going on with it? Get your questions ready. If you have questions about these two things, because they do these decisions and where we sit today all spring from technical, very, very, frankly, kind of complicated legal interpretations. And that's not what gets explained when you watch the local news, right? Like, there's no time for that. So what are your questions about either of these things? Planned Parenthood has returned to giving a full panoply of services, of healthcare services to women so that they can control their healthcare. That's topic one. What are your questions about that? I also want to know, How do you feel about that? When you heard the news that Planned Parenthood was going to start again providing abortions, what was the feeling that that elicited in you? 844-967-2789, because I had a whole flood of them. But also just what are your questions? I'm here to try to help us collectively understand some of this technical legal stuff and to help understand how people who don't have a legal background react to news that is really about very, very complicated rules of statutory and case law interpretation. And what is your, you know, impression of the complete circus that has surrounded the elections director for the Wisconsin Elections Commission, which should be a nonpartisan organization led by a nonpartisan, right? And yet here we've devolved into clearly partisan bickering as we ramp up for one of the most important election years that we've seen, right? Probably more important, I've made the argument, than 2020, because Donald Trump now has his list of sycophants, butt kissers, do nothing, treason inducing, co-conspirators. That list is all ready to go day one. So 844-967-2789. You can also text us per usual. Well, Anya and I will do our darndest if you want to send in your questions about either of these two things. We're going to try to queue them up and I'll try to get through all of them today, but you have, can of course join us live, 844-967-2789. Let's start with this. How did you feel? What was your emotional reaction when you heard that Planned Parenthood just yesterday began and did provide abortion services to women in the state of Wisconsin? Because I'll tell you what I thought and felt when I saw that headline last week. They had announced it before actually providing those services yesterday. And I thought, wow. And oh my goodness, there are women whose lives will be forever changed because they can make a choice. And the as I continued to think on that, the odds are that those are women who can only access abortion if it's local, meaning people who don't have flexible job hours and don't have the means to travel out of state. And I was extremely moved and humbled by the fact that I have never had to make that choice. And I still remain absolutely stunned by the arrogance of conviction and your own personal religious beliefs supplanting someone else's most deeply private personal choices. I can't get over that. And it's interesting because in analyzing the court decision that paved the way for Planned Parenthood in Wisconsin to begin again providing abortions to women in Wisconsin, in between all of the legal technicalities and these nuanced interpretations, roared an unassailable truth about this question. And it's an unassailable truth that I think no matter what your personal, religious, or faith-based views about abortion may be, this unassailable truth that to me, again, roars from the pages of this decision and is so clearly the center of every debate that you will not be able to dispute that truth. And I will get to it as we discuss how we got here in Wisconsin. So let's just set the stage again. Abortions up until last week had not been provided in the state of Wisconsin for more than a year. That was following the Supreme Court's decision that overturned Roe v. Wade, now known as the Dobbs decision. I have spent many an hour on the radio criticizing it, but my criticism in large part is this. At the root of the Dobbs decision, it runs for nearly 70 pages, was this definition of how we understand privacy rights today. And this was Samuel Alito writing for the Supreme Court's majority. He basically said, listen, if it's not a right that is clearly necessary and essential to the functioning of democracy, as understood back in the 1700s, maybe the early 1800s, it's not a privacy right this court will acknowledge. And while we can all maybe technically understand what that is or what that might mean, here's what it means in real people talk. It means that the rights of women and people of color and other groups who have not had equal access to the rights and privileges enjoyed by white men who are landowners, that those rights that are essential to our identity, yes, our identity as women or the LGBTQ community or as brown or black people, that these attributes, that it's okay to have different sets of rules about them, because old white guys that had land back in the 1700s and 1800s didn't acknowledge those rights. It's a circular argument that the rights that we will enjoy today will be defined by the rights that different people who aren't female, LGBTQ, or brown or black decided back then. It just doesn't. What? Okay, so it's been a year, and the Attorney General has filed a lawsuit that alleges that effectively the laws on Wisconsin's books are inconsistent as it pertains to abortion. Specifically, that there was a set of laws adopted in 1985 following Roe v. Wade, when it was acknowledged by our nation's highest court that that is a privacy right, that women must have access to abortion so long as it is an abortion. Basically, they adopted the viability rule. If the fetus isn't yet viable, then women have a right to abortion. So the laws adopted in 1985 for Wisconsin all were built around this concept of a viability rule, fetal viability. And so they contemplate access to abortion. The problem is that the laws, that they never removed the laws from 1849 off the books. So they're not even consistent really in concept. And then when you go to read the laws of 1849 in the state of Wisconsin, well, hey, Anya, I got an easy question for you.
Oh, no, I'm never good at even the easy questions, but go ahead.
No, you got this one. Hey, Anya, do you think medical terminology back in 1849 is exactly as precise and technical as the medical terminology we use today?
Well, I'll answer that with a short anecdote, which is that my grandmother, who I love, Mildred, worked with special needs kids. And I know that even medical terminology back then wasn't very accurate. So I can only imagine what it was like in, what is it, 1840 what?
1849.
Wow. Yeah. No, I can't imagine it's very good.
Yeah. The pinnacle of clarity and understandability, it is not. So we've got these laws from 1985, the laws from 1849. They're not really compatible with one another. And so within the course of the Attorney General's lawsuit came this question, which he didn't directly ask the court who's hearing the lawsuit. And that is, what exactly does the 1849 law ban? And spoiler alert, the judge decided that that law does not, in fact, ban abortion. I'm going to explain to you how the judge got there and the unassailable truth that exists in this debate. I'm Maggie Dawn. We'll be back with more in a moment on The Maggie Dawn Show.
Tri-City Services Heating and AC wants to warm the hearts of the Wisconsin Rapids area by giving a furnace to a deserving person or family in need, someone who needs a helping hand and is trying to work their way back to the top. Do you know of anyone like that? Maybe it's you. Apply yourself or nominate online at calltricity.com before October 16th. The committee will select someone to have a furnace installed at no charge. That's right, no charge. Please help us warm the hearts of the Wisconsin Rapids area. Apply or nominate online at calltricity.com.
I'm Sawyer.
And I'm Shannon.
Together, we're Twin Stunts, the only twin motorcycle freestyle show in the world. We're
born and raised in Wisconsin, so we want all our fellow cheeseheads to know that even though we clutch it up, hit 12, and drift in our show, we would never do it on the open road. And there's another thing we would never do on the road. Drive drunk. Drive sober or get pulled over. Together, we can save lives. Learn more at zeroinwisconsin.gov. Wisconsin DOT.
A new head coach.
We got one objective and one goal, is to play for a championship.
A talented backfield.
Braylon Allen does it again.
And a defense that just...
Down he goes.
Won't...
Intercepted. He's gone.
Stop.
Another turnover forced.
Join us Friday. It's the Big Ten opener on the road against Purdue. Our coverage begins at 4 on your home for Wisconsin football.
It's about effort. It's about intensity.
The Badger Sports Network from Learfield on Wisconsin.
When severe weather hits and the power goes out, do you have a plan? For reliable power and peace of mind, propane can do that. It only takes about 10 seconds for a propane-powered generator to restore power to your home. So no matter what Mother Nature has in store, you know you're prepared. Learn more at WIPGA.org. This message is sponsored by your local propane provider and the Wisconsin Propane Education and Research Council.
From the home of the Cranberry Blossom Festival, your news talk and sports station is locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
Flip through the paper, ticking through the number one. Feel like a stranger, I wanna make a hit and run.
Welcome back, everybody.
Still need a drummer.
I'm limping Maggie Dawn on the Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Remember, you can always get the app from your favorite app store, listen to us perfectly clear, and text or join our shows with one click on the app. We're hearing from our text line. Thank you, Carmela. It's nice to hear from you. I'm very happy to be back. Yes, Crudy did an amazing job covering for me. And Carmela also shares with all of us that she was happy and relieved for women who need the service, but like many of us, probably a little surprised and curious as to how exactly any of this is legally possible. So let's get there, okay? So this decision came from a Dane County Circuit Court judge. It was dated July 17th. So keep in mind, like, Planned Parenthood clearly talked about this for over 2 months, basically figuring out, okay, a judge has maybe opened the door to us offering abortion services again. And I wanted to read you portions of this. Don't worry, I'm not going to do too much reading. But the court sets this up and explains what I just did, that Wisconsin developed a comprehensive system for regulating abortions based on the Supreme Court's viability rule, and basically said women get abortions pre-fetal viability, and here's, you know, these consent rules and licensure and hospital rights, blah, blah, blah. All the technicalities, okay? And they also said that post-viability abortions are legal under a certain set of basically extenuating health-related circumstances. Now, what's at issue is the 1849 law. So we know that the 1985 laws just dealt with regulating abortion, and all of those statutory sections just presume that pre-viability abortions are legal and are available. However, the section that is the challenge, okay, is Wisconsin State Statute Section 940.04, right? The 1985 and later laws, those are all under 940.15. Okay, here's what 940 sub 04 sub 1 says. Any person other than the mother who intentionally destroys the life of an unborn child is guilty of a Class H felony. Here's what subsection 2 says. Any person other than the mother who intentionally destroys the life of an unborn quick child is guilty of a Class E felony. Okay, so what does that mean? What exactly does that state statute section mean? Now, unsurprisingly, the Dane County Circuit Court wasn't the first court to have to confront this question in the state of Wisconsin. Perhaps for pro-lifers in the state, they maybe should have paid attention to the prior state Supreme Court ruling that interpreted this 1849 law. And here's what the Dane County judge ended up finding back at the beginning of July. The first thing that the court did was basically line these statutes up. The one that uses reference to an unborn child versus the one that makes reference to an unborn quick child and applies different felony penalties based on that distinction. And the court said, okay, do we have any court case here in Wisconsin that interpreted this? And we do. The case is State versus Black, and it's not from all that long ago. It's from 1994. And in State versus Black, a man was criminally charged under the second subsection. So the one that deals with a quick child. Okay. And that one carries a heavier penalty. This man assaulted a woman, grabbed her by the hair, pulled her backward onto the sofa, punched her in the abdomen twice. He refused to allow her to call for help. And by the way, this was his wife. For 15 minutes until she started screaming from abdominal pain, and it goes on. It's quite graphic. The fetus died, and it was at full term. The mother was full term, and literally just waiting on the kid to start birthing. And in the Black decision, in interpreting this state law, said that this state law relating to a quick child could hardly be clearer. The statute prohibits feticide. Well, what is feticide? Feticide has a technical legal definition. And without reading it to you, I'll just tell you what it means. It means when you go beat up a woman intentionally and she's pregnant and the fetus dies. Exactly the facts in the Black case. She was full term. There was nothing wrong with the baby as far as they could tell. He beat the crap out of her, intentionally punched her in the stomach twice, and her child died. Her unborn child, her unborn quick child died. So the question then becomes, if that's, and by the way, feticide is not abortion. Abortion is a woman electing to have a medical procedure. It's not someone battering a woman without her consent and thereby killing the child. So when I get back, I knew this would take me more than two segments on. When I come back, I'll explain to you how the judge then viewed and interpreted the conclusion by the Wisconsin Supreme Court in 1994 that provision of the 1849 law is not about abortion, that it's about feticide, when I come back. Please keep it locked in. It all matters. I'm Maggie Dawn. This is the Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. You can, of course, join us 844-967-2789.
News talk and sports on both sides of the dial from Wisconsin Rapids and beyond. Locally grown radio 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
Locally grown 1320 AM and 97.5 FM WFHR programming is broadcast from the Bug Tussle Studios.
Bug Tussle, keeping you connected to the world around you.
And we're live here outside the Perez family home just waiting for the... And there they go, almost on time this morning. Mom is coming out the front door strong with a double-arm kid carry. Looks like Dad has the bags. Daughter is bringing up the rear.
Oh!
school, but the diaper bag wasn't closed. Diapers and toys are everywhere. Ooh, but mom has just nailed the perfect car seat buckle for the toddler. And now the eldest daughter, who looks to be about 9 or 10, has secured herself in the booster seat. Dad zips the bag closed, and they're off. Ah, but looks like mom doesn't realize her coffee cup is still on the roof of the car. And there it goes. Oh, that's a shame. That mug was a fam favorite.
Don't sweat the small stuff. Just nail the big stuff. Like making sure your kids are buckled correctly in the right seat for their age and size. Learn more at nhtsa.gov/the right seat.
Visit nhtsa.gov/the right seat.
Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
If you came across someone struggling with hunger, how would you recognize them? By their clothes? Their age? The way they speak? Would you notice an 8-year-old girl who's not excited for summer break?
Because she may not be having lunch again until September?
Or a single father of two who works three part-time jobs
and still can't put enough food on the table?
Or maybe a mother who cleans offices at night,
hoping to find meeting leftovers to take home to her hungry family?
Or a war veteran who's having a hard time
landing a job and getting back on his feet?
I am the 1 in 8 Americans who struggle with hunger. People you pass by every day but never knew were hungry. I am hunger in America.
Hunger can be hard to recognize. Learn why at IamHungerInAmerica.org. Brought to you by Feeding America, 200 Food Banks Strong, and the Ad Council.
Childhood should be the happiest time of life. But for many children living in poverty with blindness, facial deformities, and other crippling conditions, it's riddled with pain, rejection, shame, and isolation. At Mercy Ships, we're answering the cries of some of the world's most forgotten children and adults through free, life-changing surgeries, surgeries that turn despair into hope. These once heartbroken boys and girls, and many men and women too, are now restored, accepted, and on their way to a life of opportunity and joy. No one can change the world on their own, but together we can transform it by restoring hope to one person, one child at a time. Volunteers from your community and around the globe are bringing life-changing healing and hope to the forgotten poor. To learn how you too can help change the world, one child at a time, go to mercyships.org today.
Bug Tussle, providing high-speed internet to rural Wisconsin. No data caps, no contracts. 877-227-0924. Call today to get high-speed internet now. 877-227-0924.
For WFHR and WIRI, I'm Melissa Kay. Here's what you need to know in central Wisconsin. The Vital Information Program is holding their last walk-in registration event at Lincoln Center in Stevens Point on Thursday, September 21st, from 1 to 3 p.m. Volunteers with the Aging and Disability Resource Center will assist you in completing a medical profile that contains your vital information. This profile can be kept on the refrigerator in your home so medical professionals can access it in the case of an emergency. The event is this week, Thursday, September 21st, from 1 to 3. The next meeting for Nakusa Hometown Christmas, Riverside Lights, and Santa Visits will be this Thursday, September 21st. If you want to find out how you can get involved, volunteers and businesses are encouraged to come. The meeting will take place at the Nakusa Community Center at 5. Volunteers are needed for this fun community event. That's Thursday, September 21st at 5 p.m. I'm Melissa Kay for WFHR and WIRI, Civic Media News.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR.
Mainly cloudy skies expected tonight with a slight chance for scattered thunderstorms. Lows level off around 53. Southeasterly winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. Slight chance for isolated storms tomorrow. High of 81. Sunshine mixed with clouds at times. Slight chance for scattered storms again tomorrow night. Lows dip down to about 58. Mainly cloudy.
For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 72.
You know what? When this decision dropped from this Dane County judge in July, the main headline was the lawsuit brought by Josh Call to challenge the laws and to get some clarity here was going to be allowed to continue. And there was some coverage that the judge drew into question whether or not, in fact, the 1849 law was a law making abortion illegal.
Okay. To get back to where we were. Suffice it to say, none of the press at that time went, holy cow, abortion's actually legal in Wisconsin and everybody got it wrong. Right? Like, that didn't happen. But now it has. Hence why I'm here today to share with you, friends, what the legal technicalities here are. So what I've been sharing with you is the language of the 1840 law, which said any person in two different subsections. Subsection one says any person other than the mother who intentionally destroys the life of an unborn child is guilty of a class H felony. Subsection two says exactly the same thing, except destroys the life of an unborn quick child is guilty of a class E felony. So the difference between quick and not quick is basically fetal viability. It was the nomenclature of that time scientifically. Okay, so basically, you beat up a woman and a non-viable fetus dies, it's a felony in Wisconsin. You beat up a woman and a viable fetus dies, that's a higher graded felony in the state of Wisconsin. And the judge from Dane County pointed out, by the way, in 1994, the court declared that the subsection 2 about the unborn quick child, that this is not an abortion statute. This is a feticide statute. And feticide is someone causing, assaulting without consent, a woman who is pregnant and causing the loss of her fetus as a result of their assault. It's not an abortion statute. The Dane County judge didn't come up with this. The state Supreme Court did in 1994. And then the Dane County judge says the constructions of the statutes are exactly identical. So there is no abortion ban in Wisconsin because the 1849 law bans feticide, the intentional assault or battery of a woman that then kills her fetus, either viable or unviable. That's what the law says. Now, interesting side note, that section of Wisconsin state statute is titled abortion, which, remember, I promised you that in this entire discussion is one unassailable truth. Keep that in mind, that it's titled abortion, but the thing that it describes isn't an abortion. They describe what is legally defined as feticide. And the Wisconsin Supreme Court so held in 1994. The judge goes on to make a big point about this, that the legislature has known this since 1994. And that if the legislature doesn't like a court's interpretation, courts can presume they know well of what the court said about something, and that the legislature chose not to act, thus lent to amend or clarify the laws, and thus that Supreme Court decision stands. So she basically, the Dane Court judge is like, yes, Republicans, remember when you got sort of changed the rules on how Supreme Court justices get nominated because you didn't like Barack Obama's last appointee when Scalia died and you threw out all of our democratic norms before Trump was even actually a thing? Remember when you did that and you loaded up the Supreme Court with people that really don't have any alignment to what the majority of Americans think on some of these big issues? Remember that? Yeah. You knew what they were eventually going to say, and you did nothing for a few years to clarify this law that said that abortion actually, per the Supreme Court in Wisconsin in 1994, abortion isn't illegal in Wisconsin. It's a feticide law. So that is a big deal. She then points this out, and this is the kicker, everybody. When I saw this in this decision, I went, you've got to be kidding me. When confronted with these arguments during the hearing, okay, the lawyers representing the people that are arguing that it actually is an abortion ban, and for some technical reasons that I'm not going to get into right now, it's a district attorney. Because district attorneys are the ones who would criminally prosecute people for violating these laws. So Josh Call is suing a district attorney. Well, there, I did it very, very succinctly. The lawyer representing the district attorney defendant tried to argue, no, that's not right. That's not really what the Black decision meant. But had to write the court later and correct themselves and have admitted on the record that indeed that is precisely what the Black decision in 1994 meant. And I quote from the Dane County Court's decision, the district attorney's attorney, quote, clarified that Black could not support application of the 1849 law to consensual abortions. And she quotes his letter to her. Okay, these are the anti-abortion people writing about the 1849 law to the Dane County court judge that's hearing the challenge to the 1849 law. Okay, everybody with me here? The anti-abortion lawyer writes this about the purported Wisconsin 1849 abortion ban law. During oral argument, I suggested that based on footnote 2 in the Black decision, the decision could be read as saying that the 1849 law could apply to both consensual abortions and feticide. As a clarification, I am acknowledging that in Black, our Supreme Court stated that the 1849 law is, quote, not an abortion statute and is a feticide statute only, end quote. That's from the anti-abortion lawyer, admitting on the record in the Josh Call case that the 1849 law is not an abortion ban. Bonk, like mic drop, are we done here now? So that's why. Okay, and the judge goes on and goes through some principles of statutory construction. And then she summarizes it. I love it. This is a practical jurist. I don't know who this is, but bravo. She said basically, like, to summarize, there's four reasons why there's no abortion ban. First of all, Black said that this is a feticide case, that this is not an abortion case. Second, Black said that we must disregard the title of the statute. By the way, that's a rule of statutory construction. You can call something a duck, but if it's scaly and slithers, it doesn't matter what you've called it. It's still a snake. Third, the judge said Black specifically also said that the 1849 law is not an abortion statute. And fourth and finally, the Black court again rephrased that it is a feticide statute only. She was basically sussing out some of the technical points here. I mean, here's the conclusion. July 7th, just this year, from the Dane County Circuit Court. In sum, reasonable people may fairly debate whether the ordinary and everyday usage of the word feticide encompasses consensual medical abortions. But there can be no similar debate about what State v. Black meant when it used that word. The 1849 law is a feticide statute only, and feticide does not mean abortion. For the above reason, the meaning of feticide is not ambiguous, and the 1849 law does not prohibit a consensual medical abortion. And yet, with that amount of clarity, it took 2 months before abortions resumed in the state of Wisconsin. And here's where we get to the unassailable truth part. Every attempt to regulate abortion, including this failed one in 1849, and I mean regulate abortion out of existence, and now every attempt that's being made by Republicans who for decades said that there should be a national abortion ban are now trying to sort of moderate off that position. And there's plenty of them. Not all of them are as politically stupid as Mike Pence. Hey, here's what they try to, they're now trying to factually describe the circumstances under which an abortion is permissible. Life of the mother, according to whom, how many doctors have to say that in Wisconsin? It's 3, by the way. And it gets into these questions of, well, like, does she have to be in preeclampsia? Like, what, how, wait a minute, how almost septic is she? Right? Like, this is what we're talking about. What the judge said there, You lay people don't know what feticide versus abortion means. You could read that statute and go, yeah, it bans abortion, but it doesn't. So says the Wisconsin Supreme Court in 1994, leaving, let's see, should we do math on the radio, Anya? Let's see. The Dobbs decision came out in 2022, and that Supreme Court decision was 1994. They had 28 years to clarify that the 1849 law actually banned abortions. But they didn't do that. Why didn't they do that? Because they pretty much knew it was unpopular, and the Supreme Court and everyone had assumed that that would be a right enshrined in Supreme Court jurisprudence forever. So the unassailable truth part is this. Feticide versus abortion. Abortion if her life is in danger, but decided by whom and under what factual circumstances? Well, how at risk does the woman have to get? How many doctors do we have to ask? What hospital privileges for whom and by what distance according to... When you get to a point where you can't legislate it, you shouldn't legislate it. When the legislation walks in application, walks us all into factual absurdities that are facially so disgusting and so hurtful to people that even the most ardent pro-life advocate would take pause. And there are so many of these. It indicates that this is not a proper area for legislation, that it is indeed essential to our democracy that women have autonomy over their bodies in this way, because you can't figure out exactly how to say it. And at the root of all of that is that you're a slut and that I live in a puritanical Christian democracy. Oh, wait, that's not what the United States is or ever was. We are a secular democracy, and your mores, your values, your faith tradition has no business in my body, least of which has no business in my body when your religious beliefs take my life. The absurdity of these laws indicate that this is not a place for legislation. And the absurdity of the fact that that was just admitted a month ago by the pro-life lawyer tells us this is not a place for legislation or criminality. I'm Maggie Dawn. This is the Maggie Dawn Show. Tell me what you thought when you heard that Planned Parenthood was finally again delivering health care to women in Milwaukee and the state of Wisconsin when we come back.
Wisconsin Decides 2024. The road to the White House begins here. And Civic Media delivered with all-day coverage of the first Republican presidential primary debate.
The only network with every show live from Milwaukee.
I could see a scenario where Trump squeaks by again. Will people on the left be willing to accept that?
Conversation you won't find anywhere else.
On your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
What is dedication?
The thing that drives me every day as a dad is Dariana. We call him Day-Day for short. Every day he's hungry for something, whether it's attention, affection, knowledge. And there's this huge responsibility in making sure that when he's no longer under my wing, that he's a good person. I think the advice I would give is you don't need to know all the answers. The craziest thing was believing that your dad knew everything. So as a dad, you felt like you had to know everything. You had to get everything right. It's okay to make mistakes. As long as it's coming from love, then, you know, it kind of starts to work itself out. I want him to be able to sit back one day and go, we worked together, we did a good job.
That's dedication. Find out more at fatherhood.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Parents, we know we can't protect our kids from everything. Eventually, they're going to bump their heads or scrape their knees. But we can protect them from six types of cancer. HPV, or human papillomavirus, is a common, preventable virus that can cause cancer later in life. The HPV vaccine prevents human papillomavirus and all the cancers it can cause. The American Cancer Society recommends getting your sons and daughters the HPV vaccine starting at age 9 to protect them later in life.
Your place for this area's news, talk, and sports. We are Locally Grown Radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR, 1320 AM.
Welcome back, everybody. I am Maggie Dawn, and this is the Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. If you want to share your view, your thoughts, your feelings about how you responded, your gut reaction, what you thought upon reflection about Planned Parenthood providing abortions beginning yesterday, again, in the state of Wisconsin, join our conversation, 844-967-2789. I'm especially interested in hearing, frankly, anytime this week from folks that may be personally pro-life, but understand that that is not what should prevail in our legal realm, that abortion must remain legal. Just a couple of shouts out. Mike and Madison, thanks much for listening. Our texting haiku author, also always fun to hear from you. Again, you can join us 844-967-2789. So I'm going to save the conversation about Megan Wolf and the elections directorship and the technical legal stuff for tomorrow because I don't want to blast through it. There's a lot going on there. So do tune in tomorrow. I will break down the entire situation there. I will also tell you what I think the right outcome in that case is. And what I thought about the Supreme Court's decision when it was about Fred Preen, who is this DNR commissioner who basically refused to step down even when Tony Evers had appointed someone new. He was a holdover from the Walker administration, and the state Senate just refused to hold a confirmation hearing for the new person who was appointed. So I'll tell you what I thought about that decision, what I think about the situation here and how they're similar, and also what the technical interpretation of state statutes betwixt the 1849 abortion law and the Wisconsin elections director thing have to do with one another, and why it's so important that judges aren't partisans. I will break all that down for you tomorrow. But I'd like to reemphasize this point that I made last segment, that when you look at abortion laws, unless they are just complete bans, and even that has a hard time operating, as we just discovered, because the 1849 law that's supposed to be an abortion ban is an abortion ban, is not an abortion ban, is that you end up with mess. It's impossible to legislate this in a defensible, consistent manner that frankly comports with the moralistic and religious underpinnings of the arguments that people make on the pro-life side of things. It's inoperable. And the fact that the law is inoperable tells us this isn't a place where the state should be treading. And I'd respectfully like to offer you that a similar set of almost equally, if not more horrendous circumstances that I hear a deafening silence from the right and Christian and evangelicals is when it comes to the state killing people in executions to show that killing people is wrong. And just today, reporting is coming out in more forceful amounts. But the return to executions in Alabama, that conservative governor, Kate Ivey, so conservative, way right. She even put a moratorium on executions because like three or four of them were screwed up in the last 5 years in Alabama. I mean, badly. People surviving executions, people terribly harmed, botched executions. That now Alabama, she's lifted the moratorium, and now they're going to kill people, I think, by putting a gas mask of nitrogen over their faces. And by the way, veterinarians won't use that same method to kill your cat or dog. And so this is, again, one of those areas when you're like, yeah, death penalty. Tell me how you do that humanely. Tell me how you do that. Because you can't. Don't tell me lining people up at a fire in front of a firing squad is humane. It's not. It's why we don't do it. But ask me this. Why do we never know who's the executioner? Why do doctors refuse to do this? Why have, frankly, chemical companies and pharmaceutical companies refuse to produce and manufacture the component ingredients or drugs that they've used in the drug cocktails for the lethal injections? So that now Alabama is about to use a method to kill people, to teach people that killing people is wrong, that vets won't even use to put down dogs or cats. It's impossible to do that with any degree of humanity or in a way that would comport with the moral underpinnings of those that make the argument for pro-life in the first place. I would like to offer to all of us that your arguments about morality and standards and who says what and who gets to, you had better be consistent. There had better be a through line, because Miss Boebert and those of her ilk, how dare you tell America what their values should be, because your standards are not consistent. And we needn't look to your own abhorrent, repugnant personal behavior. We need only look to the positions you take on these kinds of policies. They are simply inconsistent. And I think we need to ask ourselves for more of that consistency. If you listen to me break down how stupid the arguments about Justice Protasiewicz are, the whole point there was consistency. There is none in the GOP. You can't find it anymore. And that's where we should begin. What are your values, and do you apply those value standards consistently? Because if you don't, why don't you pack your bags? I'm Maggie Dawn. It's so good to be back. I will talk to you tomorrow, but a couple of programming notes. This Thursday, you don't want to miss it. I'm going to have my good friend Colleen Foley, the head of the Legal Aid Society of Milwaukee, and mark your calendars. October 2nd, it's going to be a breakdown of all things Brewer and Stadium with my good friend and sports expert, Matt Salmon. Thanks all for listening. I'll be back with more tomorrow.
We all make promises, big and small, tested over time and distance, tried by circumstances and decisions.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America.
I do solemnly swear to bear true faith and allegiance.
To help you when you're in need.
To tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth.
To be considerate and caring. Courageous and strong.
For better.
For worse.
In sickness and in health.
to love and cherish.
To be your loving, faithful friend.
Partner.
Child.
Parent.
Neighbor.
One of our most important commitments is to support our nation's veterans. Learn how you can help a veteran going through a difficult time by visiting maketheconnection.net.
WFHR, Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM and W248 DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.